I've been thinking about some things that could grow your faith, or even perhaps for the first time ignite your faith, and one cropped up in my mind that maybe you wouldn't expect it to. This could be summed up in one word: trials. I met a guy years ago in a previous church who went through a literal trial at the Old Bailey, and that actually ignited faith in his life for the first time. He had a very comfortable life. He was a friend of rock stars, etc., and this became a very high-profile trial. He really could have lost everything. He said that although he thought it was the worst thing that could happen, it turned out to be the best thing that could happen. Because at one point in his desperation, he was driving past a church out in a village near us, and he called into that church, and in the stillness, just talked to God about the problem and asked God, if you're there, please, would you help? And nothing happened. You know, there wasn't like a crying statue of Jesus or some miracle that took place or even a voice. But he began to sense peace. And then he said that when he stood in the dock at the Old Bailey, and when he was finally called upon to give his own evidence, as he stood, he suddenly felt arms of love wrapped around him. And he felt like, he said, he was in this sort of bubble and this amazing zone of love and peace. And he just was able to, although he wasn't a great public speaker, just be able to tell the truth in a way that he felt happy with. And at the end of that, he was found to be not guilty and it was cleared. And he started to come along to our church, and he got very involved in the church. Unfortunately, afterwards, maybe the worst thing that could happen happened, in that he became very successful again. And after that, he found that he didn't really need God quite so much. And so I don't think he's ever really, to this stage anyway, gone on much with God, because he got the car back and he got the job back and he got all of the trappings of success back again. And isn't it interesting that the tough times can actually be the biggest growth times for faith? Maybe you, lots of us, would say that looking back, you might think, you know, it's been those hard times in which my faith has been stretched and has grown. Some people might think, well, if I just had a life that was free of troubles and pain, then I'd be really close to God. But actually, although, of course, you wouldn't choose such times and tests and trials, looking back, those were the times when we depended on God and learned how dependable he really is. And our faith grew. Now, for most of us, when I talk about a trial, that word, I don't mean going to court, but there are going to be all kinds of other trials and troubles and tests in life. When the pressure's on, when the heat is on, you know what that's like. Even though we don't all go through the same things, every stage of life will bring unique trials of its own. You've been through some already. Maybe today you're feeling the pressure of going through some. And as long as you keep on living, you will go through some of these trials, tough times, troubles. What do you do? Well, whenever I ask myself those kind of questions as I'm going through those kind of struggles in my own life, there's one short passage of the Bible I find myself going to for encouragement and practical help time and time again. Many, many times this little passage has spoken to me. In fact, the whole letter of James in the New Testament, I love it because it addresses real life problems with down-to-earth wisdom. But especially at the beginning, he talks about, because he's writing to people who are going through tough stuff that we all go through, and how that relates to faith. And so from verse 2 of James 1, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all, without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. That person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of its ways." Now, I haven't got time to look at all of that passage, but there's enough truth in just one or two of those verses to change our lives for good if we apply them today. James was actually the younger brother of Jesus Christ, and like most of Jesus' family, it was only after his death and resurrection that James came to see that his older brother was not just his older brother, not just the carpenter's son like him, but actually the Son of God. So actually, he was Jesus' half-brother, to be accurate. You know why? Same mum, different dad. Anyway, James is now writing a kind of circular letter to be passed around lots and lots of churches in places where Christians were being persecuted for their faith. It's addressed to them, but it addresses you and me too, if we're having any kind of hard time. And I've only got time to go deep into a couple of verses there that really encourage me. But in verse 2, James says this interesting statement: Consider it pure joy whenever you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or steadfastness. The book of James, in fact, the whole Bible, doesn't promise a life without troubles, testing and trials. In fact, it assumes you will have such difficulties, all kinds of troubles. Some of you might have another translation where that word trials is translated as temptations, but the word there comes from a Greek word, pierasmos, which you could also translate as troubles. And it has this idea of testing something involved in it. We all had tests. We've all had tests at school, haven't we? Who really likes those tests? None of us. But sometimes you're prepared for the test and you know it's coming and can be ready for it. But the time we all dreaded is when the teacher says, okay, get everything off your desk now and just get a piece of paper and a pen because we're going to have a test now and you're not ready for it. Why do they do that? Why do teachers do that? It's because a test sometimes, and even a spot test we're not prepared for, is the only way to find out what you really know and what you've still got to learn. And at times, God allows us to go through some things that, from our side, are troubles, but He uses them as tests so we can learn what He already knows, but we have yet to learn. He doesn't set us up to fail. These tests don't come because He's cruel. In fact, we just fall into them, it says. They're just part of life. We all have trials, and we all have testings. The word there literally you could translate as approvings, like you've gone through quality control and made the grade. The only way to test something is that you put it through the fire sometimes. Many people, maybe you're one, you've gone through life feeling a sense of guilt, or maybe you're convinced that the reason that you had that crisis in your life is because you did something, and now God is doing something back to get you. I hear people, even Christians, say that a lot. Do you think God is punishing me? Like, you were so bad and now God's out to get you. You know what? We don't believe in karma as Christians. We believe in grace. Some people, though, they talk about, well, the reason I had that financial problem last year, or here's why I think my son or my daughter went on drugs, or you think that difficulty took place because you did something wrong and so now God punished you. No, let me assure you, that is not what the Bible teaches. Remember, it says fall here. You fall into troubles and tests and trials in life. We all do. Christians get ill, get sick. Christian businesses go bankrupt. The difference is not in what we go through, but in how we go through. That's what the real test is. You and me are going to fall into troubles, tests and trials, regardless of how good you are. Troublesome times are going to come into your life and mine. And the picture there of falling is of a person walking quite well and suddenly finds a slippy place, trips up, hurts himself. Have you ever been driving and then you hit black ice? It doesn't matter how careful you were, doesn't matter how good a driver you are. When you hit that spot, whoosh, it's over before you can do anything. And the Bible says that's a picture of how trials happen in your life. You're going to go through life and whoosh, you're going to encounter a trial. You'll fall into trouble. It's called life. So, while you're breathing, there will be hiccups and gasps and sighs and times when you hold your breath and just hang on. It's part of life. So what do you do? What do you do with a trial in a trial? The Bible says, smile. Have you learned to smile in a trial? That's what James says we can do. Smile in a trial. I don't know if anybody else has a hard time doing that. It says, count it all joy. Consider or evaluate it pure joy. Now, I'd like to nominate that as one of the most outrageous statements in the whole of the Bible. When's the last time you considered it all joy when adversity came into your life? Oh, some awful news came in and I'm so happy. No, I think we need to make a distinction there between what the Bible calls joy and what we call happiness. When James says count it all joy, he's not saying be happy about life's trials and tests. Happiness is different than joy. Happiness comes from what happens. If good things happen, we're happy. It's natural. Joy comes from God, so it's supernatural. Joy comes from holding on to understanding that there's something bigger than me and my little part of the story going on here. So I can have joy because I know whatever I'm going through, God can bring me through, and He will reward me somehow on the other side of this test. I can smile in a trial when I know God has a purpose in this and I'm going to trust him, even though I'm not seeing it all right now. When we go through tough times, if we're honest, most of us consider it pure misery, not pure joy. But James says, when you fall into various trials and circumstances, count it all joy. Smile in a trial. I know that's hard to do. It goes against our natural inclinations and circumstances and instincts, doesn't it? But whoever told you Christianity was natural? This is where the God element kicks in, or not. This is why it's a testing of faith. Here's my question. Are you passing the tests of faith? Maybe you're going through trouble, a test or a trial right now. How are you going to go through it? Can you smile? Ask God to help you to smile. It's tough to consider it pure joy. But unless we go through some tests, we'll never know what our faith is made of. And the main problem in your life right now is not your problem. It's your response to the problem and your attitude towards your problem. You can't get out of some of the problems you're in, but you can change the way you go through them. Count it all joy.